How's it going, guys? I am Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Anything and Everything Show, an up close and personal look into the lives of two married people, that's us, who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Before we get going, though, I want to just give a quick plug to our sponsors, audible.com. They are incredible. They're basically a platform to listen to audiobooks. I think they have 150,000 different titles, and you can sign up and get your first month free. And when you do that, you also get your first audiobook for free, which, by the way, my book is on there. I'm not saying you have to get it, but it is on there and you can get it for free. So go to jeffbethke.com/audible to check that out. My favorite thing about them, I use them myself, is they have the best customer service ever. Even if you want to cancel your trial membership, they let you keep the book for free. It's awesome and it's epic. But let's get going with the show. So we're going to be talking today about anything and everything, hence the title. And we'll be taking questions from you guys, where I think I read some questions that are talking about keeping God at the center. And what do we do? How do we know God's will? Stuff like that. But before we get going, I thought for the very first episode, we would just kind of catch up, tell you guys how we're doing as a family and stuff of that nature, maybe even share how we met. I don't know. How are you feeling? Tell us everything.
Everything. Oh, man. I don't think I'm quite ready for everything.
Yeah, that was a little oversell. Okay, tell us, catch us up. How are we doing as a family? You know, are you ready to move? Are you excited to move? How are we feeling?
We're feeling real good. Well, actually, I mean, we're excited. It's pretty bittersweet and there's lots to do, but we're doing good. Hey, why don't we talk about how we first met?
You really want to talk about that one?
Yeah, I guess so. But you should tell it. You tell it the best.
Okay. So for those who don't know, which I don't think we've actually even shared.
Just so you guys get to know us a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So they know what they're getting themselves into.
Exactly. Fair enough. And this is our very first time ever recording, ever doing a podcast. So if we're shaking off the rust a little bit, bear with us. But to say how we met, well, you know, the kind of classic joke I use over and over again is we met on my friend's fridge. Now, that's the short version. The long version of that is my buddy Jeff Cherry. His name is also Jeff. Good friend. I lived with him before.
Hence why it's better if Jeff tells us, because it gets confusing with all the Jeffs.
That is true, actually. Right. From your perspective, you don't know what Jeff we're talking about. But my buddy Jeff, we were friends, and I was over at his house, sophomore year of college about then. And they have that classic Christian refrigerator where there's, 50 million missionary pictures along with, all the high school senior photos, and Christmas cards. It's just basically an epic fridge of, pictures galore, little overboard, little overstimulation. But in the midst of the stimulation, I saw this really cute girl on the fridge and I said, "Hey, who's that? I'd like to talk to her. I'd like to, get at her," I think was the phrase I actually used back then.
Which they said, "You're not getting at her."
Yeah, that's true. They did. And immediately they kind of laughed because they knew that was Alyssa and she was one of the sweetest, most genuine, amazing people in the church at that time. And I was just starting to follow Jesus and they just didn't see it happening. They thought it was hilarious. But the joke kind of turned into a running joke where I'd bring it up every time I was over there. And then, it got to the point where I guess you don't know, but it's about 3 months in, Jeff's sister was getting married and Jeff and Alyssa, or not Jeff and Alyssa, Stacy and Alyssa, Jeff's sister, were friends, so she was going to be at the wedding. I wasn't going to be at the wedding. I didn't get invited, but the mom overheard and was like, "Hey, Jeff, if you promise to clean up after the wedding, then we'll let you come." And they said, "And then you can go use that time to talk to Alyssa and you can kind of have this Jason Bourne, James Bond moment where you kind of sneak around and go to try to talk to her and, get at her, as you say." No, she didn't say that. But yeah, so that was what happened. That's essentially how we met. But the bad part is, stuff traveled through the grapevine pretty fast. So by the time I got to the actual wedding, everyone knew, including Alyssa, that I was going there for that very reason. So it was exceptionally awkward and I was really nervous. And so I, wasn't going up to her. I wasn't talking to her, but yet everyone knew that that was the plan. So basically everyone was spying, waiting. When was this moment going to happen? I didn't know that. Thank goodness. I would have felt more pressure if I knew that. I learned that after the fact. But so the night went on, and then down later at the reception, her dad was outside. I didn't know it was her dad. And we just struck up a conversation because we were getting a breath of fresh air. And he just, at the end of it, said, "Hey, you should come in and meet my daughter." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then lo and behold, did I know it was Alyssa's dad, and his daughter was Alyssa. And then there, so he basically knew too, and he kind of structured it all. And from there is how we met. And it was, the sparks flew immediately. The romance was just immediate. I could just feel, the blood pumping through my veins with love and romance and interaction. No, it was actually, it was a love at first sight to some degree. depending on how you define that. But we hit it off and we had a great conversation. And then 7 days later, I went to Oregon for college and you went to Hawaii. And we tried to continue the relationship through there and we dated long distance and it was great and amazing. But then,
well, we'll just have to leave the rest for later.
Yeah, that's podcast number two. Will be the first breakup, which Alyssa did to me, and I'm still broken heart over. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm recovering. We're married now. Yeah. We're married now. But yeah, so that's a quick overview of how we met. Like I said, the short version is I met her on the fridge. But yeah, I mean, real quick, actually, tell the people, how are you feeling about this podcast in general? I mean, what are you hoping for this? You can tell them how much I roped you into it, like I do with all my projects. What are you thinking?
The people. I wish I could meet all the people. It'd be a lot more personal. But, yeah, so Jeff, apparently, I didn't realize this as much before we got married, but I'm getting to know this more and more, is a huge visionary. And so about every week he comes to me with some new idea, new job description, new thing what he's going to do. Like, oh, hey, I'm going to go to Morocco in 2 months. Or, oh, hey, I want to start a TV show. And then lo and behold, someone calls him and wants to do a TV show. Or it goes on and on. But all that to say, he said he wanted to do a podcast. And I never actually agreed to it. And
yeah, didn't actually. No. I just kind of kept rolling with it.
He just, all of a sudden, we started getting these mics in the mail and these earphones.
That is true.
And he put on the calendar, podcast with Alyssa today. So here I am. But it's actually really fun.
Yep. That's one thing in our family is if it's going to be serious, it's got to get put on the calendar. So I knew if I put it there, you were in. You had to be in. You had no choice. No, but you love it. And this is fun. And I'm really excited for this. But yeah, that was the quick kind of intro and just catching up on how we met for the very first episode. But one thing I'd like to talk about for this episode specifically is what you were talking about. I think it was yesterday or no, a couple days ago where you basically said, you know, that God, gives you a particular word or idea for every single season or almost for specifically every year kind of in your life walking with Jesus. And I love that idea and I'm still thinking on it myself, but I'd love if you catch them up on what I'm talking about, what that came from, and I guess maybe catch them up on what that word was or is for this year. And then I will try to talk about that as well.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about, you know, December, it's Christmas and soon it's going to be the new year. And I remember when I lived in Maui, I had a few friends and mentors and they really pray and journal at the end of every year and really pray for a word from God, for this next season. And so when we were Maui last weekend, one of my friends was explaining her new word for this next season.
Ooh, I didn't know that's where it came from.
Yeah. And I just,
Leslie.
Yeah, it was
Leslie. Shout out to Leslie if you listen to this.
And I just realized, that it's the same in my life. And, I remember when I was just, it wasn't during the new year, but towards the end of a season, right before I was moving back home, the Lord really gave me a word of grateful, and it was really hard for me moving away from Maui and all the people I loved and the place that I had called home and moving home. Even though I was moving home, it still, transitions are always hard for me. And that was right when I, 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp came out. And
check
so,
out that book, by the way. Best book ever.
Yes. Life-changing. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it was that then that whole next year I was learning how to really be thankful and what that means. And I've really come to discover how being thankful, I feel like, is the breath of God. Like when we are thankful and writing those lists of thankfulness and thinking about throughout the day, it invites God's presence into the moment. And so I love that. So ever since then, I've been praying for a word and do you think
God gives it to you, or is it more like you try to pick a word as your goal for that season? Does that make sense?
I think God gives it to you.
So you kind of say like, what do I need to work on this next year? Cause it sounds like that first one.
I don't think it's even what you need to work on. I think,
or maybe what you need to be stretched in. Cause even that first one you said, it sounds like, it would have been hard to be grateful because you were being pulled away from everything. And so grateful became that word.
Yeah, it was. I feel like the Lord gave it to me. It was through a friend at church, and she had a word for me, and she gave me a stone that said gratefulness, and then the 1,000 gifts, somebody gave that to me, and it was just really the Lord putting that on my heart. So maybe it takes a little while to figure out what that word is, but that was for me. And then this season coming up, I really feel like the Lord has given me the word rejoice and joy, kind of the same word. And it's one of those things where you're not, for me anyway, I'm not quite sure, like I know what the word means in my head, but I'm not totally sure its depths. And so I really feel like God is going to really show me that in this next year, in this next season. And I don't know. And I mean, the Lord
is you gotta tell people too, that's a special one. Why is Joy a special word?
Oh, well, it's my middle name.
And who else's?
And our daughter's middle name.
Kinsley, that's right. Kinsley, yeah. So I'm kind of the odd man out with Michael, but it's okay.
Anyway, and I just really believe that when we seek God with all of our heart, He's faithful to meet us. And if we're asking, like, if we're really seeking Him and asking, God, I just want you to work in me and I want to be more like you, you know, what is a word for this year that you want to teach me? I just want to be open to hear what you have for me. And I really feel like He'll give you that word.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And what, I mean, I immediately, when you're saying your word for this year or coming up is rejoice and joy, I immediately thought of that Bible verse. I hope I'm not making this up, but I'm pretty sure there's a Bible verse where it says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. So it's almost like
that's
Paul. So I don't know. Do you know where that is? We'll have to Google it, or maybe
it's
people can just.
It's in the New Testament.
Narrowing it down
it's
real big.
It's in Philippians.
Right there.
I think it's in Philippians.
It's in the New
4.
Testament.
It's Philippians 4.
Well, I think it's in the Bible. I'm not sure though.
Philippians 4.
Yeah, no, I think you're right actually. Cause I know it's Paul, and I do know that the interesting thing about, that verse is it was actually when he was in prison, I think. So it must have been either Philippians or some of the other letters he wrote in prison, which narrows it down for sure. But yeah, I just love that because it's almost like he repeats it. And so it's almost as if he knows, like, hold on, this is not natural to rejoice always. It's not natural to rejoice when you're in prison. It's not natural to rejoice when someone you really love dies. It's not, right. You know, and of course, you know, there's a, like, what do we mean by that? Because we don't mean, you know, we don't mean rejoice that that thing happened.
Right.
I think it's more God saying, hey, I'm an anchor for you when bad things happen. And ultimately, if you keep digging down deeper into the heart of God, you realize that His joy becomes your joy kind of as an anchor, like His peace, His beauty, and a relationship with Him is ultimately what gives you that joy. And so you can technically rejoice always because that's the one thing you'll never lose is that you're with Him. So
that's so good.
Yeah. So I that's just what I was thinking of right when you were saying that. So I'm a little behind though because I haven't had 5 or 6 years of this discipline like you have. So I need to think of a word myself. But I think I think more, I guess, in more of the ideas or more just kind of big thoughts. And you know, for me, recently is just, and again, it's funny that, you know, it's always in things that maybe you're not perfect at. So it's almost like that shows your weakness. But for me, it's really just trying to let technology and my phone or the internet or whatever it is, just simply be a tool and not just be something that is wasting my time or is something that, you know, is hindering my own devotion to the Lord, Bible reading, family, whatever it is. I think just in 2014 in America, if you're under 30, that's always something very difficult for a lot of people, except for you though, because you're an anomaly. You're like kind of an 80-year-old spirit in like a 27-year-old body. So for you, it is not hard to not be on your phone or something of that nature. But I feel like I've grown a lot in that recently. And it's always for your joy, right? Whenever God gives you, which again, fits back to your word, whatever God gives you, I think you always realize that whenever He stretches you, He's not doing it to make your life miserable. He's doing it because He actually wants to make you more like Him. And whenever you're more like Him, then you do have more joy and grace and faith and just that kind of that anchor of the soul.
Totally.
Yeah. What a...
So maybe one of your words could be content or satisfied or...
That's good.
Rest or abide.
No, that's really good, actually. Yeah, because I think the one thing I've learned I've probably been really thinking on this since the fall, so a couple months, is that anytime I'm in a season where I'm on my phone a ton or whatever, I realize that it usually is coming from a lack of contentment. Like you said, you know, like it's really like I need some, and it's very small too. It's not like I'm, you know, and that's what I think it is with everyone, is it's more like these subtle affirmations just when people, you know, that you matter. And the internet kind of makes you feel like you matter because social media, your stuff's out there and people can like it and comment it and your friends are there. So I think, yeah, just having that contentment of, hey, my identity's in Jesus, what He says about me. And I've just noticed, yeah, when those days are more stronger on that side, I have a lot more peace and joy and stuff like that. But yeah, I really like that word. How do you think that applies to parenting? Or how do you think, I mean, just catch us up on how the last 7 months have been. We haven't totally shared publicly since we've had Kinsley on just how we're walking through that, how we're journeying through that. I mean, what would you say is maybe the hardest thing about parenting, the easiest thing about parenting, the thing that most surprised you? You can just go all the above, but how are you feeling with that?
Why don't you go first?
Oh, you're really going to do that?
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is because you're such a saint and you're superwoman, but I don't think, like, altogether the parenting has been as hard as most people scare you to believe it is.
Maybe because you're a guy.
What do you mean?
Well, the mom, it's just different being a mom.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah, you're right. The being a mom, you're more all in at all aspects of the day because there's things that she needs from you. that I can't give. So, no, I agree. But I guess I don't mean like it's very difficult and God's really stretching me and us. But I think I just mean, it happened with marriage a little bit too. I think some people like, oh, it's so hard, or, oh, you know, you're going to lose a ton of sleep. And it is, but it's also like, it's such a big blessing. And I think I don't think we emphasize that side as much, that man, God really opens your heart to love and to learn more about him and to, walk alongside another little tiny human. I mean, how crazy is that? She's like a little tiny, you know, like 15 inch tall human. Well, she's probably like 30 inches tall now. It's just, yeah, it totally is just so new. And for me, I really am loving the adventure of it and what it's doing with my relationship with God, with you, with Kinsley. And it's just really expanded my heart to love and stuff like that. So that's the biggest thing I've learned is that, yeah, that God, I thought that like a heart had to be divided up. Does it make sense? Like when you have a kid, you only have so much love. So then you have to take that love from somewhere else to give it to your kid. But for me, I feel like right when we had Kinsley, it actually kind of God opened up a new compartment in my heart, almost saying like, no, I'm actually going to expand your ability to love so that you're not taking away from anyone else, but even giving to Kinsley even more. So that's what I would say. I don't know. And then, and then the hardest thing I would say, so that's maybe more in the stuff that I like and enjoy. The hardest part for me, I guess, is just feeling the responsibility. Like, whoa, we are the sole responsible people for this little child, you know, this little image bearer of God. Yeah. We're solely responsible for discipling her, for training her, for loving her, for teaching her what it means to be human and live in the world and follow Jesus, all these things. And there's so much grace for that. And we know that God ultimately is in charge of that. But there's a big responsibility for sure. So what would you say?
Why don't you share about the, how you've been talking to Jeremy and the Midrash and.
Oh yeah. So that's
really cool.
Yeah. So there's a group of, fathers over in like the Cincinnati area. One of my mentors is over there and he does this thing called Father's Midrash. And if you don't know what Midrash is basically a Jewish art where they take the scriptures and they really dig deep dialogue. It's almost like holy arguing. It's meant to be like, I want to say arguing because I want to give you that picture of like there's a real, talk about it and there's a real abrasiveness about it, but I don't mean arguing in the sense of like contention. It's like, that's why I said like holy arguing. It's more like, it's basically saying there's no holds bar in the scripture, right? So you read a text, you read a scripture, and then you just can talk about and bring up anything. And they really do it specifically with the light of what does it mean to be a father? And so they actually are walking through the entire Torah and then the entire Old Testament. So the first five books of the Bible and then the whole Old Testament, I believe, just asking, yeah, like, what does this mean to be a father? And I just love that because, man, for me, I want to create such a legacy for us, for the Bethke family, that just, you know, when people hear that name or when they hear, you know, or see our kids later on, that they just know that we love Jesus and that our life is meant to point to Jesus. And I feel like, you know, if you get a group of fathers together or a group of mothers together or the families together all in one room, I think just as long as there's intentionality there, I think it's something so, so beautiful because, you know, it's very easy to see that the individualism of America has actually hurt and fractured a lot of families. And I think when I read the New Testament, I've been convicted again through Jeremy and other people that the New Testament has a heavy family dynamic, meaning one of the biggest and best ways to reach people for the kingdom is when a tiny community goes out and shows what it means to be a new human race under the reign and rule of Jesus. Now, a lot of times that's called a church, but if you boil that down to even a smaller community, that's a family. A little tiny group of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, man, that is kind of the kingdom vehicle for showing what Jesus is like and how he feels about us and how he wants to reconcile us to himself. And the family, because there's more than one person, you can have that dance that the Trinity has where you can show that love, you can show that sacrifice back and forth. And I just really I love that. And I think the individualism of America has totally crushed that family aspect. And now we outsource a lot of things. You know, we say, hey, make the church do the family's job. And so we usually outsource a lot of the spiritual growth to the church when that should be the family's job. We outsource a lot of learning to the school system when that should be the family's job. But that's a whole other thing. We can make a whole other podcast episode on those rants. You've heard those before. But yeah, I mean, what are some of your thoughts on parenting and all of the above?
Yeah, well, I just have so much to learn. And it's been so good. I feel like how you said it, to me, it's a lot harder than I think I could have ever imagined. But at the same time, it's the joy is just so much more incredible than you could ever.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean it was easy. So I think you're saying it better how I was trying to say it. That just like, it's so amazing that you just, when you sit in
it's
that.
It's worth it.
Exactly. That's better. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's so worth it when you look at your little boy.
Little human.
Yeah, you're a little human. It's just the most incredible thing. So, and I'm really learning how to really rely on the Lord for everything and, to be in constant prayer and how to be totally present. Like I want to be, you know, when Kinsley's awake and stuff, to just be totally there and loving her. And
as opposed to what?
As opposed to doing things half-heartedly. And obviously I know that I have to get things done and stuff like that, but I really want to spend time each day to just be totally there and like with her and laughing and dancing and all of these things instead of,
well, me and you have such a big heart.
So many hats on.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? Yeah. Totally. And me and you have such a heart to make the home a celebratory place. The last thing we want, I think, is to raise a child who feels like this is the place where there's no fun, where there's a bunch of rules.
Or that they're a burden or I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to put it too. And that just they're, that we are in this community, we're in this community together, and I hopefully see that they see how me and you interact and how we love, and that kind of has like an eminence about it, that it kind of has this glory about it that kind of shakes off onto our kids, where they see, man, mom and dad love each other, and maybe that's a little bit of a witness of what it means with Jesus and us. I don't know, stuff of that nature.
Right.
But yeah, I totally agree that I want it to be a place. Well, when you read the New Testament, it's very apparent that Jesus was about celebration. The kingdom is celebration. It's a feast. It's fun. And it's true joy, right? So it's more like the fun we think of that's maybe more sinful. That's not really that fun. That's just basically drinking toilet water where it might satisfy your thirst, but makes you sick the next day. But the true kingdom is something that's this real deep living water that really is satisfying and really is fun, but it doesn't leave you sick the next day. So, I just want the household. I think me and you both have a real weight for that this house be a place where they feel that weight. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so
agree.
You agree?
All right. I mean, I have so much to learn, but I'm loving being a mom. I just am so, so thankful.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Well, I mean, not being a mom, but being a dad. Real quick, what would you say is just one funny, random story you have with Kinsley? Anything come up?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's very appropriate. I mean, it is appropriate, but
Kinsley, when you listen to this 18 years from now, we tell you that there probably won't be podcasting in the future. And if it is, it's probably a chip in your brain. But anyways, continue.
So
anything with poop and a baby is always appropriate because that's basically the life of a parent with a baby.
Right. And this is just the most recent. So the other day, well, Kinsley's been eating solids lately, so we're getting used to.
We're getting real.
We're getting
real
used
detail.
To those. And the other day.
And by the way, that snort was just Alyssa, not me. So I just
Right.
She snorts when she laughs and everyone loves it. I love it myself, but I just had to disclaim that.
I asked Jeff to give her bath and I said, oh, hey, I think she has a little blowout. You may want to change your diapers.
So little and blowout that's kind of opposite words, but yes.
Well, I mean, yeah. So he takes her in. I'm like doing the dishes and all of this. And all of a sudden I hear him yell, Alyssa, Alyssa, I need you. And I come in and he goes, she did have a blowout. I don't know what to do. It's on my arm. It's on the changing pad. It's all over her back. It's on her legs. I don't know what to do. So it was just a really cute moment.
I didn't know the moment
Father,
was going to be.
Daughter.
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be that one where you throw me under the bus. No, actually, she's totally right. That's basically exactly what happened. And, you know, Kinsley's 7 months at this time, so I can deal with my hefty amount of poop. But I guess it's when I get caught off guard that I'm just like, whoa, I don't know what to do. And then I'm also a very clean person. That was really the biggest thing, is that I can handle blowouts, but only so much. Like, basically her blowout had so blown out of the actual diaper that it had got on the changing pad.
Actually, it didn't blow out of the diaper. It's just when you change her, she starts rolling around. So then it gets everywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's more the X factor now. Yeah. She moves a lot more. And so that was the biggest thing is, yeah, she moved a ton and then just poop got everywhere. It got on my arm, got on the changing table. And then I was actually ready to take her to a bath. So I was, it was just a nightmare. Alyssa saved the day. Thank you, super mom. You are amazing. And I didn't know that was the story you're going to share. But, just basically, by the way, anyone listening, you can come back every week for more poop stories because I'm sure they will be there because we are parents of a 7th month old. No, I'm just joking, but we'll always give the disclaimer just if anyone wants to turn it off at that moment. Okay, moving on.
Should we, do the Q&As from our listeners?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good idea. So, what we'll do is every week we'll probably try to read just 2 or 3 questions that I'll take from Twitter and Facebook. And we found some fun ones this week that, got liked a lot on Facebook. So I'm guessing that means a lot of people wanted to hear those questions. So, the first one comes from Becca Shore. Shout out to Becca. You have no profile picture on Facebook. It's just that little white guy silhouette with a little pokey hair. So I don't know what you look like, but anyways, when you start dating someone, what are some ways that you both seek to keep God in the centre? So I think she meant center, but don't they say centre like in France or something?
It's just center. It's just different ways of spelling it, babe.
Oh, kind of like theater.
Like
and,
theater.
And theatre. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
So what are some ways that you both seek to keep God in the center instead of each other?
In dating? Or just in general?
Yeah, when you start dating someone. So kind of like if you're about to start a relationship, can you do anything practically that maybe says, hey, how do we make sure that we don't become the center of each other, but God still is our focal point?
Totally. You went, well, I think the key thing is that you both love Jesus, and not that you both say that you're Christians or that you both go to church, but that you both genuinely love Jesus and are following him each day and seeking him. And I think because when you get in a relationship, it's not like you change all of a sudden, or it's not like you'll be a better believer or habits will change. It's just what you are as a single person will go right into what you are as a dating couple and in a marriage. And so if you both are following Jesus and in love with him, that is a key thing, I would say. Mm. You share some more advice. Go off of that.
I mean, this one's hard because it is basically like one very big answer, which is very similar to what you just said, that I think you have to be fully satisfied in Jesus, or else you'll look for that full satisfaction in the other person.
Yeah.
So if you are fully satisfied in Jesus, you'll understand that your boyfriend or your girlfriend isn't your God or isn't the thing you're worshiping. They're just a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you're trying to walk alongside with, maybe hopefully towards the path of marriage where you do it in a healthy manner, and maybe God gives you that covenant, or he doesn't and you move on, but you did it in a healthy way. So I would say, but if you, I mean, it's very kind of classic like talk, but it's like if you have that void, you'll look for someone to fill it. But if you already have really that contentment, then I think you won't. So just a practical way, Becca, I love the question, but also I want to encourage you with just the fact that, you know, that was a quick answer. But another caveat I'd put too is it's kind of a daily thing.
Right.
So it's not really like you just got to, you know, it's kind of cliche to just say put your identity in Jesus and then you're fine. It's the answer. And we know that. But there is a little bit of a wrestle. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a wrestle where anytime, I would say romantic relationships, specifically marriage, but dating obviously in a less form, but if you're doing it healthy, you're not, you know, crossing so much that, you know, it's really problematic if you break up. Basically, I'm saying if you date in a healthy way, it's not that bad, but any...
Still hard, but totally. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, exactly. But any romantic relationship, I would think, is the closest that our heart gets to kind of hitting the bullseye of our spirituality, which obviously Jesus answers, where we were made for that covenant. We were made for that intimacy in God, and then that's there because God created that in us as image bearers of God to have a relationship with him. So it becomes so basically it's the easiest false God to slip into that would be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And so because of that, I think it has to be a daily battle where every time you wake up and every time you go on a date, you just remind yourself that, hey, you know, this person isn't my worth and my identity. Jesus is. But the cool part about that is when you do that, then you actually start treating the person better. I think when I did that with our relationship, or when I constantly was growing in that, it enables me to not be so tied to how you act and behave.
Right.
Right. So like if you maybe get upset at me, or if you do something that does upset me that you don't even know about it, if I'm tied to you in my worth, then it's actually very problematic, because then anytime you disappoint me, it's like a God's disappointing me. And so it's going to feel like it's going to throw me off center. It's going to throw me off base. But if I know God is my center and he's my anchor, then you have that steadiness about it, where if you were to upset me or something like that, then I can just offer grace, or you can offer grace to me if I do the same thing, because we're not the center of each other's lives. So Becca, I don't know if that helps, but that's,
and just to add off of that, I would say, I think that's with any friendship, relationship. When you need the other person, then they are going to be really big in your life, and it is going to, you know, like fear of man.
That was our dog Aslan barking, by the way. He was giving us, that was either an amen or the UPS guys at the door.
Right.
There he goes again. Okay.
Fear of man, and they become an idol and things like that. But when you're totally secure in Christ and that God is the biggest thing mm-hmm. in your life, then it's funny how much better the relationship and friendship could be. Mm. So
that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
and just what you said, I think in any relationship and then in marriage, this is a constant daily thing. Like you said, like constantly seeking the Lord and seeing how you can serve and love the person next to you and not put all of your hope in them.
I like that. That's good. That's good. And, another question we have is, from Christopher. Christopher Haley says this: if God has a plan for each of us, how do we know we are on the right path? even after you pray, how do you separate what you are telling yourself versus what God might be saying to you? So he's basically kind of saying, you know, how do you know it's God's will? How do you know it's his voice or just the quesadilla you had for lunch? You never know. No, I'm just joking. That's always
that's
the question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's always the question I ask for myself. But do you want to answer that one first? What do you think?
Sure. Well, I'll start and then you could finish.
Okay.
I think as far as God's will goes in the Bible, New Testament, there's a few verses that God is very, what do you call that?
Specific or very, very like loud in his proclamation of what his will is.
On what his will is. And his, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, part of God's will is to be thankful. And there's a verse about, you know, being sexually pure and.
You know, those, from my knowledge, those are the only two.
Are those only two?
Which I think where it says actually specifically, this is God's will.
Right.
One is to abstain from sexual immorality and one is that you give thanks. That is very interesting.
Which is so cool because God is such a God of freedom in a sense. And also I realized just a few months ago, if you are giving thanks, like God says, you are walking in God's will, but it's also harder to sin, if this makes sense, because if you're sinning, you're not going to be giving thanks for that. Does that make sense? Is there a better way to say that?
No, I know what you're saying, where it's like, you know, if I...
Because you know that it's wrong.
Yeah, like if I steal or lie, which those are very cliche sins, I guess, to say, but, you know, there's anything you can do that's more like, you know, God, not God's plan for your flourishment. That's basically what a sin is. But yeah, if I were to do those things, I can't give, like, yeah, gossiping. So if I'm talking bad about someone, I'm not after going to say, wow, thank you, God, for letting me do that.
Right.
You know that doesn't fit.
Right.
And so if you can't give thanks for it, then it's kind of your barometer to it. That's a great place to start.
Maybe a barometer. God's will. Yeah. So there's one thing. And then two, I think, one thing I love to share that my youth pastor shared when I was in high school and really seeking God's will about schools and college and all of that, he said what helps him is to take 1 month, so 30 days, and pray about whatever's on your heart, make sure you're in God's word every day, and then talk to mentors about whatever you're praying through. And when I've done that, for sure, before the 30 days are over, I know in my heart that God is leading in a certain way. And I think for every person that is different, the knowing, but so that for me has really helped in knowing what God's will is or what steps I should take, if it's really his voice leading or if it's just me and my thoughts. What about you, babe? What do you think?
I mean, you kind of stole my thunder there because that was just straight, you know, nuggets on nuggets. And by the way, podcasters, that is my word for really epic spiritual truths. But I would say... Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, and a Christian way to say that is I echo that. I echo that.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
I echo what you say, and then I echo the echo. No, okay, I'm joking. But I would say, yeah, I totally agree. And Christopher, the one thing I would say is don't lose track of the fact that God is a father. God is not an abstract mathematical idea. God is a God who wants to reveal himself and has specifically done that in Jesus, but he also constantly uses the phrase that he is a father. Now, the cool part about a father is they're tenderly, they're gentle, they have relationships, they know you, they want to help you, and they want to be with you on this journey. And so don't be I think a lot of times people freeze themselves because they're afraid if they make one wrong decision or if they don't go to the right college or they don't date the right person, God's going to be really upset. No, no, no. God's a father, and any father is there to give you advice on what you're doing in your life, right? Like, it would actually be a really brutal father if the father said, you need to go to this school, you need to get this GPA, you need to play baseball, and you need to, you know, have this batting average. Like, that would be really cruel. A good father says, hey, I want you to make the right decisions. And when we do make the wrong decisions, he says, hey, I think that was a poor decision. Why don't you come back over here? They kind of give us boundaries, but then they shepherd us in those boundaries, and there's freedom within those boundaries. So don't lose sight of the fact that God is a father. So that's what I would say. Last question real quick. We'll make this one pretty quick, is from Lula. And the reason I think it'll be quick, because it's similar to the first one, but a little different angle. What is your best advice for a single person that you wish someone had told you when you were waiting for each other? It's a really good one. I think you can answer that better. The one thing I would quickly say before you can wrap it up, and then I'll give the outro spiel, if there is one. I guess we didn't need to think of one because we just started the show, Lula, I would say, you are fully human in Jesus, meaning God can give you a fully flourishing existence in himself, and you don't need another person or marriage to do that. So you need to have that side of the coin, and I think really let that sink in, that you are fully human in Jesus. Let that sink in, soak that in the scriptures. But on top of that, don't feel shameful or wrong about having the desire for romance and for relationship and for marriage or for dating. Because sometimes what we do is we overarch that, and basically we overshoot that. And what I mean by that is sometimes we make people feel bad for, no, you are created with desire. You're a human being. Humans have that longing, that affection, that desire. It's what makes us human. Kind of what I said, that's what makes you fully, something that makes you fully human is that you do have that desire and you do have that attraction. So kind of rest in that tension, that's totally normal, and God in his timing will do his thing. But you're fully human. You can be fully content and have a full human existence in Jesus. And on top of that, don't be afraid to make it known to God that you have that desire or to other people, because it's totally normal. What would you say?
That's good. There's so much to say about singleness and waiting on God. And I know that it can be, during different seasons, a really, really hard thing. But I love that in the scriptures, there are so many verses about waiting on God. And I remember clinging to Lamentations 3 and about how just waiting on God and knowing that he is so faithful and compassionate. And I love Psalm 84:11 that talks about how God does not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And so knowing that in now in your life, at this very moment, God is giving you the absolute best. And even if it's a hard thing, knowing that that is producing good fruit in you and that it's for your joy and that he is wanting to draw you closer to himself. And you know that you can trust him, that he is going to give you what's best for you in every moment of your life. And then also practically, two things practically. I think while you're single, really soak up that time of singleness. And I know it can be hard seasons, but also it can be like some of the most fun years of your life. And so if you want to travel, travel, like live with other friends that are single, you know, have late night pancakes and go to Walmart dressed as whatever. Like, just do really fun
things.
That's
pretty good. I've actually done that.
Done those weird things too. Do those really fun things that you want to do. If you want to go back to school, do that. If you want to travel to Peru and do a mission trip, do those things. Mm-hmm. Like, those are really exciting things that God does in your single years. And two, a practical thing while you wait is really be praying for your future spouse. Which is so cool, because it's not like you're just waiting around for God to do his thing, but you're actively waiting, where you can actually be praying for your spouse and God's working in their life. And it just can help you, your heart, to be prepared for who you're going to meet. So anyway, those are just a few things.
That's practically a book, which, by the way, guys, Alyssa's book Spoken For with Robin Jones Gunn, I would say nails that issue on the head. Talks about intimacy, relationship, singleness, journey, stuff of that nature. But I love your last point. I think that's so true. And I would say, just to wrap up, the one thing I think of is that I just thought of when you were talking is, if you're not content in a certain life season, what it does is it robs you of life, and it kind of robs you of true joy in both the life season you're in and the one you're looking for. It doesn't make sense. So let's say you're not content in your singleness. What that will do is that'll rob you. And if you're not living a full human existence, like you said, and being content, and having fun and basically taking advantage of the season, meaning like if you're single, take advantage of that singleness, then what it does is it kind of squeezes the life out of that season, because you're kind of almost trying to skip ahead of that season. You're not really living in the moment, living in the present. And then what it does is, if you're squeezing the life out of that one and you're projecting onto some future season, something that's going to be so glorious and amazing, then what will happen is, actually, when you get to that season, you've so idolized it that it actually disappoints. And so it kind of squeezes life out of both seasons. And I kind of say that from experience, and I think we all do from certain times in our life.
And to say, too, I think we all will struggle with discontentment.
Totally. It's like a spectrum. Yeah.
But the sweetest thing is that God knows your heart, and he knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly how you feel. Like, he is our high priest that has gone before us. And so we can be totally honest with him. Mm-hmm. And like, be honest about whatever you're struggling with and let God meet you and let God change your heart and give you that joy wherever you are in life.
Yeah, no, that's good. So Lula, I think that's how you pronounce your name, or Lula. I don't know. It depends on the emphasis. You can let us know. But I hope that helps. I hope that's an encouragement. Hey, thank you guys for listening to our very first podcast episode. This is kind of crazy that we're doing this, but I'm really excited, and I can already tell I'm going to have a blast with my lovely, amazing, beautiful, awesome wife. Oh, I was going for that. I was going to say it. Could you tell?
I always said that because I feel like all youth pastors say their hot wife.
That's true, though. That's true. They all do.
I'm not tooting my horn. I thought it'd be a joke.
No, that is true, though. It's kind of a little cliche, so that's why I tried to stay away from that one. But I will have to admit that's also true. But hey, I'm biased. What can I say? She is my lovely, amazing, beautiful, back to the adjectives, wife again. Okay. Anyways, moving on, not to get all mushy here on podcast. But hey, thank you guys so much for listening. We had a blast. Real quick before, again, even while you're on your phone, if you're specifically on iPhone because it's more Christian to have an iPhone, press the home button while you're still listening to us. Go to Safari and go to jeffbethke.com/audible and you can get my audiobook for free, read by me, or you can get anything else you want. But again, mine's on there, so I'm not judging you or anything. But it's totally free. One free month, one free book. Go check that out, jeffbethke.com/audible. But that's all I got. We love you guys, and thanks so much for tuning in.